God is good. I mean, God is good more than we even know. Amen. His goodness is really beyond the comprehension of men. Now, I know God's good, but God's better than my wildest, furthest, highest, craziest thought ever thought. God's better than that. I don't know how good God is, but it's really good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13, just a short two verses of Scripture, and I'll let you be seated. Amen. I have what I believe is an encouraging thought. Could be challenging. In fact, I trust it will be a challenge to us today, to myself included. You know, ever notice when you point your finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Someone say pearls. The guy, he was a businessman, dealt in pearls, and he was looking for them. Verse 46, who, this businessman, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Amen. This guy had this thought, I believe. No price is too high. No price is too high. I hope to challenge you today. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we are asking, Lord, that Lord, you'd give us truth, God, that you'd give us understanding. Lord, that your will would be accomplished in our lives. I pray even right now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would open, Lord, the revelation of your word. And Lord, there would be understanding in our midst. God, that you would touch my mind, Lord, that I, Lord, would be touched by your spirit. I pray your will to be done in our lives, in this church, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It was just a little more than a week ago. I didn't preach last week. Brother Dyke did an awesome job. We were at men's conference, many of us. It was a function of our district. And I want to support our district. I want to support our fellowship. I believe that by the strengthening of our brethren, it makes us stronger. Amen. When our men go to be a blessing to men's conference, I believe our men are blessed. Amen. Anybody at men's conference agree with that? Amen. Amen. I was blessed by being a partaker. Amen. And it's for the edification, the strengthening, the uplifting of the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I enjoy being a part of this local assembly. Amen. And I'm glad that I'm also a minister in the United Pentecostal Church International. Amen. I believe it is a high honor, amen, that we are granted the ability to be a part of such a body of precious fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. I am lifted up when I am a part of that body. Praise the Lord. In fact, my mother was a part of that body. She was a faithful member in that church. I remember her very often, almost every single service, standing to testify, pray for my children, of which I'm one of her children, right? I mean, prayers don't ever die. Amen. I believe God is still fulfilling her prayer in me. Amen. God is still helping me. We should. It's God's will that we pray for our children. Amen. And her mom did the same thing for her. She was a one God, Jesus name, oneness Pentecostal. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a precious thing, isn't it? To have a heritage, amen, of people who know God. Praise the Lord. It's an honor that I was blessed with children and my kids from their very first, some their first Sunday, if they were still in the hospital, was the second Sunday. But I brought them to church. Amen. It wasn't a maybe or might or sometimes we go. No, it was, it's Sunday, get ready, we're going to church. Amen. It was a known factor in our lives. It was the normal condition, amen, to go to church when the doors were open. Amen. If it was open in the daytime, if it was open at night, if it was open in the weekday, if it was open on the weekend, if whatever day that there was church, I would get myself in church. Amen. It will put something in you when you have a faithfulness to the house of God. Amen. Those generations now are coming behind me. My children have children, and they are oneness Pentecostals, and their children are learning now, and some have already been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. I thank God for five generations of oneness Pentecostals in my family. Amen. I don't count that as a small thing. I count it as a big thing. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping us. Praise the Lord. Well, I realize there are some under the sound of my voice that you are the beginning of this transition. Amen. That you are the one that are the first oneness Pentecostal in your home, in your family. Amen. But praise God, you're in the church. Praise God, you're in the family. Praise the Lord. Praise God that you're here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are on this great journey together. We are believers in the great God, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only God that has ever been. There has never been any other God but Him. He is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Praise the Lord. I must have said it 10,000 times, but I still get excited when I say it. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can't get excited about who Jesus is, amen, there's nothing for you to get excited about, because He is the most important, potent. He is the pinnacle at the top of the peak. He is the great I Am. Praise the Lord. And I want to talk a little bit about our fellowship, the United Pentecostal Church International, and in particular, the United Pentecostal Church in the Connecticut District. I believe it is God's will that we're not. Just as God doesn't want us to be an island to ourselves and not go to church. You know, I've heard some people, well, I can pray and read my Bible at home. I hope you do. But God didn't intend you to be an island unto yourself. God didn't intend for you to make your own way. Amen. God has a way. And it's already established. Here it is. It's in the Word of God. Amen. And He wants us to be a part of the family of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Even more, as you see the day approaching. Amen. We ought to keep ourselves busy in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. This great fellowship that we are a part of, this local assembly, is affiliated with the United Pentecostal Church International. Now, some people will say, oh, I'm non-denominational. How can, well, I don't really quite understand that. I want to be, yes, I'm connected with Jesus and my relationship with Him. But I want to be a part of a body of believers. Amen. Just as the individual, it's not God's will for the individual to do it all on his own. I don't believe it's God's will for a family, a church, to be out there all on its own. To doing its own thing and making its own way and make up the rules as you go. That's not a good idea. Amen. I enjoy fellowshipping with the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. The pioneers of this oneness Pentecostal church, I've read some of those books and heard those accounts and heard from preachers and evangelists and from missionaries how that great sacrifices were made by these that established this faith, that began this organization. Great sacrifices that you and I are enjoying today. Amen. We are enjoying the fruit of that labor. Amen. The establishment of the body of Christ. Thousands of churches worldwide that believe this oneness apostolic faith. They invested the years and generations of labor, sweat, tears, and prayer. It was with great cost that they established this faith, this organization, this fellowship of believers. They invested their time and their finances. Many invested their blood as it cost them their lives. Amen. Now you and I, we have little to do with how the United Pentecostal Church or the Oneness Pentecostal movement, we didn't start this movement. We weren't involved in the establishment of it. We did not sacrifice for it. We did not pray for it. We did not suffer to see it born. Everything that we have, everything that we are, every privilege and opportunity that we have been afforded was paid for by great pioneering believers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And those believers went before us to lead us in a path of righteousness. Amen. We really do not have to make our own way. We just need to follow Jesus. We need to follow the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. To be a part of the family of believers. Amen. Though most of us, in fact, I would say all of us, had nothing to do with how this church and this movement was established, we have everything to do with where this church is going from here. Amen. We have taken up the baton. We have put our hands to the plow. We are in the field. We are expecting a harvest. Amen. What this local church will become and the effect that this local church will have on the lost and the dying of our world, that responsibility falls squarely on our shoulders. What you and I do, what we as a body of believers in Uncasville, Connecticut, or better, may I say, New London County, Connecticut, because all of us don't live in Uncasville. What we do here is our responsibility. Amen. Yes, we are enjoying the greatest move of God the church in this locality has ever known. Amen. The church is in a better place today than it has ever been in the history of our church. Amen. God has given us great blessings. God has moved and miraculous miracles have happened in this church. Amen. It's a great day to be living for God. Amen. We serve a great God. Amen. And you can't say that about every church. You can't stand at the pulpit in many churches and make that proclamation and say that it is true. But here, it is. This is the greatest day to be living for God. Amen. You and I are part of God's most powerful church that has ever been. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I have read in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, there was 3,000 souls added to the church. There's 5,000 souls added to the church. There are certified accounts of people in our day, in my lifetime, just in recent years, where it dwarfs the size. 100,000 people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one day, in one meeting. I'm telling you, the accounts of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, of people being baptized, of people believing this faith, are greater today than they have ever been on the face of the earth, including what's recorded in the Bible. God's doing great things. I want to encourage you that our local assembly is a part of a larger body of believers. Amen. We are not all by ourselves in the wilderness. Amen. We are not the only church that preaches this message. Amen. What kind of church is this? This is a church of great power. Amen. Great power is in this church because we believe in Jesus Christ. Not because of who we are, not because of the great heritage I have, not because of the organization we're in, but because of Jesus the Christ. When we believe in Him, when we walk His way, when we preach His Word, when we believe His salvation message, it's a great church. Great church is not measured by how big the building is. It's not measured by how many people come in the door. It's measured by Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You and I are part of God's most powerful church that has ever been on the face of the earth. Amen. I say that without hesitation. Yes, I've read the Bible. Yes, I know those accounts. I've preached them many times. But God is doing greater things today in our world, in our midst, than He has ever done before. Amen. You and I are part of this great body. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, "thou art the Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If Satan could stop the church, it would have already been stopped. He cannot stop or hinder the church. I get tired of people implying that the devil is hindering us. The devil is making... No, the devil didn't make you do anything. The devil cannot stop the child of God that wants to live for Him. Amen. Get tired of hearing those lies. It's just blatantly not true. Now, people mess up and they do wrong and they get in trouble. But that's not God's fault. Don't blame that on God. God is there to pick you up, bring you out, deliver you. That's why God is there. God wants you to make it to heaven. You and I, when we believe the name of Jesus, we have power over the devil. Amen. He, the devil, is already a defeated foe. Do not be afraid of the devil. Have faith in Jesus. Amen. Have faith in God. I remember just a small child coming. You know, see, I had to get home before the street lights came on, right? Anybody remember that? I used to go sliding over by the elementary school, and I had about 2 blocks to get to my house from that place. And, oh, no, the lights are going to come on. And if I was a little bit late and the lights came on, oh, boy. And down the alley, there was a big dog that lives in that backyard. And when I walk by, if he's outside, sometimes he's on the chain and sometimes he ain't. Lord, please help me. I'll tell you what, that prayer as a child, God heard my prayer. I was praying seriously. God, protect me from that big dog. That's a serious prayer when you still got a half a block to go. I learned how to pray when I really needed God. Amen. And God comes through when you pray. Amen. You trust God and God will come through in your life. Amen. Over and over and over again, I have experienced just the favor of God when I prayed. Amen. He cannot harm the child of God. Amen. His battleground, the devil's battleground, is in your mind. If he can get you to fear, it will hinder you. But when you have faith in God, it will strengthen you. Amen. James chapter 4, verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Get this now. Here's our instruction. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. It's true. Resist the devil, and he cannot harm you. He cannot hinder you. He cannot stand in the way of the will of God. God's ways are higher than his ways. God's power is stronger than his power. He has no power over a submitted child of God. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 8, the very next verse. It gives us further admonition. Now, it told us, resist the devil, he's going to flee. But get this now. That's not where you end. Verse number 8 goes on. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Stop messing up and serve the Lord. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Good. Good You know what that double-minded is? Oh, well, I really need to go to church, but I don't know if I really can. Oh, I really believe in God. Oh, but I don't know if He'll help me. It's just, it's a mindset of carnality. You know, our carnal. No, I'm not bashing you. I'm just telling you the truth. It's our carnal nature. It's our human ways that we need, our flesh, amen, that we need to get over. Amen. I need to believe God more than I believe my flesh. Granted, sometimes my body gets sick. I've been hurt on occasion. Stuff happens to my flesh. But in my spirit, I know God is my healer. I know that He is my keeper. I know that God will see me through. I know that God will help me. In the spirit, I got to understand what God wants me to be. Praise the Lord. This church is a praying church. Amen. It is God's will that we pray. Where there's much prayer, there's much power. A little prayer, little power. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 17. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. That's God's will. It's in the Word. That ye may be healed. If you're sick in your body, do what it says in the Word. Amen. Pray for one. And maybe while you're praying for someone else, God will heal you. Amen. Or maybe when someone else prays for you, you'll get healed. Amen. But it's supposed to go both ways. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. It's not just now I lay me down to sleep or Lord bless the food I eat. It's way more than that. Man, you got to ask God in fervency, from way down deep inside, cry out unto God and expect God to just know that God is for you. It's in His Word. I can trust the Word of God. I can trust the Lord God Almighty. Amen. This is a praying church. Amen. I hope you'll come tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Amen. Praise the Lord. Commercial break. Prayer. Prayer is good. Amen. See, this church will prevail. Amen. This church, God has already said it in His Word. This church is going to prevail. Now, as individuals, that's your choice. A couple weeks ago, I preached man's final destination. You get to choose heaven or hell. It's your choice. You get to go where you want. But the church, its destination has already been settled. Amen. Read the back of the book. God is coming to take His church with Him. Praise the Lord. As a church, that destination is established. The church has power. The church has prominence. The church will produce. The church will be propagated. The church will pursue. The church will pull down strongholds. Amen. This is a revival church. Amen. The United Pentecostal Church, I've looked at some statistics that were received from that. They're a little bit older statistics, but every single day, someone say every day. I'm not talking about annually. I'm talking about each day on the calendar. The United Pentecostal Church in North America has averaged 40 people baptized in the lovely name of Jesus. Every day, 111 filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God is pouring out His Spirit on average every day in North America. Amen. Routinely, regularly, this is how it's supposed to be. God is increasing the church daily, such as should be saved. Reports of healing and of miracles and of deliverance and of, in the lovely name of Jesus, miracles. They're coming in from around the world. Praise the Lord. I'm happy to be a part of that body of believers. Amen. I hope you can believe what I'm about to say. The future of this church is brighter than the present. Amen. It gets better from here. Amen. The coming revival that will take place will be greater than the present revival that we are experiencing, both in this local assembly and in our fellowship overall internationally. Amen. God is going to pour out His Spirit in a greater fashion than we have ever seen on the face of the earth before. There is going to be a great increase before Jesus comes. God is going to increase the body, the church. We are literally standing at the threshold. I believe Jesus Christ could come today. He could come before I finish this message. And I don't intend it to be that much longer. God could come before you get home today. Praise the Lord. I'm pausing on purpose because I want you to think about that. But if He were to tarry, if He were to wait some additional days, weeks, or years, and I don't know when He's going to come, I just know He is going to come. It's not a maybe or a might. It's absolutely certain. Jesus Christ will come again. Amen. The coming revival will be greater than anything anybody on earth has ever seen before. We are standing at that intersection, at that threshold of the greatest end time revival that the church has ever known. Amen. We're right there. God is pouring out His Spirit in unprecedented ways. We are standing toe to toe, eye to eye, with apostolic end time revival. Amen. A revival that will affect every church in North America, including the furthest point on the ends of the earth. Uncasville, Connecticut. We are in that church. If you think, you know, I know there are people under the sound of my voice that have experienced great revival. You've been in places where God's Spirit was poured out in spectacular ways. You could see the moving of the presence of God upon people in waves. Amen. I have seen holy smoke. Amen. Literally. I've seen people healed. I've seen people delivered. I've seen people be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I've seen the elements of revival. And I'm not the only one. There's other people here that know what I'm talking about. You've seen it too. Let me use some scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I'll tell you what, God's got something in store that we didn't even think about yet. And it will be good. Habakkuk 1, verse 5. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your day, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. I'm telling you great things today. I'm telling you that what God is going to do, it's going to be an end time revival on the face of the earth that mankind has never seen before. God wants to do something greater in our church than you have ever seen before. Greater wonders and miracles, greater salvations, greater, more numerous miracles from God, greater amount of people that are blessed. Amen. It's not over. It's getting going. It goes up from here. It gets better at the end. Haggai 2 verse 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. God is going to pour out His Spirit in the last days, saith God, in a greater way than He did in the Bible. And I'm telling you, the things in the Bible are absolutely phenomenal. They are absolutely spectacular. They're greater than anything than I could even imagine until I've read the Word. And it gets better. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Here we are. We are in the last days, my friend. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will. It's not maybe, might, or sometimes. I will pour out my Spirit upon all. Someone say all. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. It's going to come to pass. It is God's word. It will be so. Today, right now, as a church, as a body of believers, we are like that opening verse that I read in Matthew chapter 13. That man, that merchant man, who found a pearl of great price. Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46 again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. I tell you what, when you find who Jesus is, when you have a revelation of who God is, when God gives you forgiveness of sins when you repent, when you experience baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, when He infills you with the gift of the Holy Ghost and you speak in other tongues, when you experience revival in your life, when you know that this is what I've been looking for, when you know that this is God moving in our midst, when he found it, the pearl. Once he had seen it for himself. Once he had handled it, he knew what it felt like. Once he knew that great pearl existed, he desired it. He thought, I've got to have it. I must have this. To him, no price was too high. No price was too high. It must be mine. His insatiable desire for that pearl drove him to the extreme limits of his ability. He sold everything that he had so that he could make that purchase and buy it. It's mine. Revival is that pearl of great price. Amen. Having and living this experience, this walk with God. How bad do you want revival? We've seen it. People in this church have, you've experienced it. You know what it's like to have your sins remitted. You know what it's like for remission of sins in baptism. You know what it's like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what it's like to see your loved ones saved. To see your neighbor come. To see a revelation of His name. I understand who God is. We know what's coming by the Word. We've tasted it, touched it. We know what revival fires are like. If you have it, it's like the pearl of great price. I gotta have it, no matter what it costs. No price is too high for me to serve God. Amen. Nothing can come in the way of serving God. Nothing can hinder me from walking with the Lord. I will serve God. That is my choice. I am going to heaven. You got to make up your mind. No matter what anybody says. I know life happens. I know people get offended. I know everybody's not as friendly as they might should be, but don't let somebody else cause you not to live for God. It's your choice. Serve God anyhow. Serve God anyway. I want to talk about a missionary. Friends of David Livingstone sent word to this pioneer missionary way back. Is there a good road, he said in the letter, into where your mission is? If so, we want to come and assist you. He wrote back, if you will only come if there is a good road, I don't need you. Whoa. A little rough, don't you think? You know, don't let anything deter you from living for God. Nothing can stand in the way of you living for God. You've got to make this choice yourself. I know this church wants revival. This church wants to serve the Lord. This church wants to live for God. Amen. But there are some that want it on their terms. As long as there is a good road. As long as it's easy. I'll tell you what. The road to living for God is not always easy. Read the book. It's not always easy. As long as it doesn't cost too much. As long as I don't have to sacrifice or suffer. As long as I can maintain my lifestyle, my friendships, my family ties, my personal pleasures. I'll tell you what, living for God will cost you. You've got to decide. There is no price too high to pay to be saved, for revival, for being in God's will. Amen. Some would think, as long as I don't have to give up comfort, luxury, or material things, as long as the commitment isn't too taxing. Lord Jesus, I am ready to be spent on the kingdom of God. Amen. I am ready to do, Lord, what you call me to do. Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. Lord, I want to say what you want me to say. I want to preach the truth of the Word of God. John Calvert, a missionary to the Fiji Islands nearly a century ago. He was going to a remote area of the world where cannibalism was still practiced. The ship's captain pleaded with them, "Do not leave the ship. Go back home with us." He's telling them, "If you get off this ship, you will surely die, and everyone with you will die." To which Calvert replied, "Sir, we all died before we left home. My life is already cast. I've made my decision. I will serve the Lord." In John chapter 12, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." We got to die to our flesh that we can be born again in the Spirit. Amen. I got to live my life anew for Jesus the Christ. Amen. Musicians, would you come? Stand with me if you would. Revival, living for God, the kingdom of God, heaven. The price is not too high. I want to spend myself in pursuit of the kingdom. I want to live my life after the cross. There are five things that you and I can do that will greatly affect revival in North America and in this church. First is to pray. Amen. Find yourself in prayer. Seek God's face for His will in your life. Amen. And again, it's not, "Lord, bless my food that I eat, and now I lay me down to sleep." It's got to be more than that. God, bring me to where, place me, God, where you want me to be. God, put words in my mouth. God, let me think clearly of the kingdom of God. Let me put you first in all things. Pray focused and intently. Number two is to fast. Mondays are fast days in our church. We encourage people to fast at least one day a week. And fasting doesn't change God. It changes us. Amen. It's putting our flesh in subjection to the Spirit. And while you're not eating, which includes, that's fasting, all right, not eating, pray. If you're just not eating, that's a diet. I don't like diets. But fasting is great. Amen. Fast and pray. Seek God's face. Teach Bible studies. Come to Bible studies. Come to Elements class. Come to end time meetings. Come to know your Bible. Yes, bring visitors, bring guests, bring your friends, and give. I'm not taking up an offering. But I tell you, giving is a key in the kingdom. Amen. It will bless you when you are a blessing. Amen. It's a key in the kingdom of heaven. Jonathan Edwards, he preached in Connecticut. There was a great revival in New England. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. People came in from the streets. They just were drawn by the presence of the Lord. It was a revival that swept a nation. And he said this. This is a quote by Jonathan Edwards. "The world is yet to witness the effect of one man totally sold out to God." What can God do with your life? Let's see. Let's see what God can do with a sold out person for God. Amen. Would you lift your hands with me? Would you pray? Would you ask God with me? Go ahead and tell Him, "Lord, there's no price too high. Lord, I want to serve You whatever the cost. Lord, I want to be saved. There's nothing else more important in my life. I want to serve the Lord. No price is too high." Come, let's pray. This altar is open right now. Let's worship the Lord as we sing.